Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket podcast coverage of the TBT 2020. It's win or go home, and $1 million US is on the line, and the winner takes all. My co-host, Andrew Canyon, and I will be watching and breaking down every game from the tournament from an NBL and Australian perspective. Follow me on Twitter for NBL and TBT updates. That's at NBL Pocket Pod, P-O-D. And follow Andrew too at Andrew Canyon. That's Canyon, C-A-N-I-O-N. Are you in the business of buying a book? Try Booktopia. They have nearly 1,000 entries under the search basketball, but they have more than just sports books. They have everything and are based out of Sydney, Australia. Use the link in the description to help the podcast if you'd be so kind. Also, in the spirit of helping the show, rate, review, and subscribe. Any combination of all three is much appreciated. But right now, let's jump into it. Wow. Andrew, TBT, day six, number 23, heard that, number seven, money team. There's no NBL news, so this had all of our attention. Let's go with that game. You, by all means, you take the reins.
Oh, my friend, it is getting exciting. Today was the day when the tournament came alive. Went up a gear, and this game, just an epic, epic performance.
On so many levels, I can't wait to talk about this one. Where are you going to start?
Well, I guess what we have, we should start with, people know the score, right? We can start with the end. So it was an upset victory, huge upset for Heard That.
Number 23 over number 7.
Yeah. Didn't see it coming. 102.99. If this is not an advertisement for an Elam ending in every single game of basketball, I don't know what is.
Nick himself was interviewed at what, 3/4 time, something like that?
Yes. Yeah, it was great. Great to have him. Great game for them to pick.
The way he explained it, where it's like, oh, we just took the emphasis away from playing against the clock to play on the score. And it was just a simple, it was one sentence, but it just made so much sense.
Yeah.
Love it.
So this game, you know, that's the end. That's what we're building to. But the entire game was just sensational. So I went in on my board of players to watch. I had obviously your friend and mine. Well, there are two of them really. The Elmores.
Jack. No, John.
Yeah, that's right. We love them both. We love them both.
Gay Elmore.
Gay Elmore. They're calling them America's sweetheart. I'm sorry, they're Australia's sweetheart too.
Yeah, we've taken them on.
So there we go. Also, for Heard That, Ja'Cory Williams was a sensation in this game. So watch out for him.
Long lefty, loved a spin move.
I loved it. Nobody woke up to that either. I think you could have just positioned your body and taken a charge on one of those spins. Yeah. But I don't think anybody
every single
really
one of them
figured
was,
it out.
He put it on the deck going right, spin back to his left, finished on the left. Yeah, he loved that one.
The credit to him. And then on the money team, we had the players I was looking out for was Wiltshire. Predominantly, I thought I had a memory of him, watching him play some college ball. I was in the States a few years ago, and I feel like he was on TV. But then as I was watching it, I was like, maybe I'm misremembering, and maybe I'm mixing him up as seeing him play for the Canada national team. When they came here with the Boomers. So I'm not quite sure where I'd seen him before, but the name certainly rang a bell. So I was interested to see him play.
He didn't ring any bells for me.
Okay. And then, of course, they had Wiley, the Wiley Coyote, former Adelaide 36er.
Mm-hmm. How would you, just jumping ahead a little bit, but how would you describe his game in total?
I thought he was sensational. I thought he was underplayed. It seemed like
We're going to get to that. Sorry, you go. First quarter, I just want to quickly say, the end score at the end of one, what, 40-22 with money team, the losing team up by 18 points, am I right?
Yeah, 40-24 I had anyway. Look, it looked bad for Heard That. 40 points, the biggest quarter the tournament had seen to date. And they just couldn't, money team, just couldn't miss, but also just looked dominant.
Athletic, defensive, everything. One player I have to make mention of before. When John Elmore put up for a three on a two on none, that's none with an N, not one, two, not a two on one, a two on none, fast break, pulled up for three, missed it, and it was put back. But it was not going their way at all. And money team had it going, absolutely.
That I had flashbacks to Andrew Gaze on that one. That was a classic Andrew Gaze move. You pull up on the fast break. He would have splashed that three though.
So. To be honest, playing the percentages, I hated it on principle, but when it worked out, it's fine. But if it had gone long, that rebound, and he hadn't been able to put it back in, I don't know who the player put it back in was, but you missed a play there.
You're not giving my man Elmore enough credit there. He read the court. He saw he had two offensive rebounders ready to go. Smart play. Pull up. Hit that. Get that extra point.
Sure.
But yeah, it was all the money team. They were controlling the offensive boards. You had your 7-footer Welsh stepping out, splashing threes.
Oh, he was dominant.
I'm surprised they went away from him as well. Maybe there were defensive adjustments.
I got stats on this. When we say they went to him and then went away, I got stats on this. Thomas Welsh from UCLA had 11 of his had all of his 11 points in the first quarter. Didn't score thereafter. Went 4 of 5 in quarter one. Was 4 of 8 for the game. So not only did he, not score again, he only had 3 shots the rest of the way. Inexplicably, as you just said. Couldn't believe it.
Couldn't see why they did that. I think maybe, maybe it was just a bonus. Maybe he hadn't shown anything in training the entire week. Who knows?
He is an NBA guy. He was one of the 6 NBA guys, if I can take it back as well. Yeah. Heard that? No NBA talent. The money team has 6 guys who have played in the NBA. 0-6. Anyway, unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. And
You go, Andrew.
We got to the end of this quarter, and the question I posed myself is, are the Elmores human after all? They just weren't performing at the level we'd come to expect after their previous performance. Poof.
The OE especially, I thought he was nowhere. But I can just take you back as well. Do you remember there was a play where Ott Elmore, sort of more portly of the two Elmore brothers, bumped into Jordan Crawford of the money team, and there was a lot of smack talk. This was probably 3 minutes left in the quarter. It got heated. It got real heated. And it came back. I mean, I couldn't believe what happened, but just an arching question from this that I've sort of had all tournament, but only articulated it now. If the NBL commentary is in a hub and done remotely, why not take it to the next level and get famous NBA commentators who are kind of out of work or out of the rotation in to do NBL games and just do it totally remotely while they're in the US watching it in a terrible time zone, I'll admit, but doing that, like an Iron Eagle, if you know him, why not? Because this is played in Columbus, the commentators are in Indiana. And with the internet, Indiana may as well be Sydney, Melbourne, or Perth. Just a thought.
This is why you get paid the big bucks, because you come up with ideas like that. That's genius,
isn't it? Why, what's the difference between sitting in a Melbourne hub and sitting in a and do it remotely? This is what the guys are doing, because in the commentary team, I forget that the younger guy, he's in Indiana in some kind of setup, but the other guy, Greenberg, he's at his home. He was saying, my dog's sitting next to me. I didn't know that. I thought they were sort of at least, the banter was good enough that I thought they were at least sort of together, but they're not.
It was so. And it was smooth. I forget that they're not there. They are doing such a good job with this hub performance. Or their remote commentating. It was really good. You're right. And I'll tell you what, the NBL, last season they made a big deal about being on Twitch and encouraging people to do their own commentary streams and stuff. It never really took off. I think Drimmick was probably the only one, an actual NBL player, was probably the only one who actually ever bothered.
I couldn't work it out. Like if they'd said, okay, we want you to commentate and here's how you do it. Well, that would have helped a lot. They'd done like a tutorial video. Unfortunately, they didn't, but you're very right. It was an initiative that sort of had legs, but didn't hit the ground.
But to take it to where you're going is you have options on your commentary stream. You can listen to your local guys if you want the Australian, if you want a bit of Dwayno. Or you
copyright this idea. This idea is patent pending, by the way, NBL. You have your choice. You can get local guys. Because that's what I found about the hub. I found it odd because, it's in Melbourne. It's done remotely. Why for a Perth game wouldn't you just beam it in with, all you need is a headset and Wi-Fi. I think we've hit on something here. Let's go back to this game.
Put a pin in that. So we went into end of the first, 40-24, and I thought, this is game over. I cannot see, heard that, just pulling back. There was just nothing. They showed me nothing. No.
They weren't playing their game. They weren't hitting the threes. No, same.
And then something started to change. I sensed arrogance coming from TMT.
Also, you want to talk about a team persuading the referee, getting him onside. The money team was very brash.
Yes.
Heard that, was just like, hey, we're getting beaten around. We're not gonna take it. We're not going to lay down. We're going to give it back, but we're not the instigators here. They totally, I wouldn't say corrupted is too strong a word, but I think it was fair to say that team money, we're getting arrogant, we're the aggressor in a outside the lines type of thing, and heard that was the disciple of the game.
They were the Hoosiers.
Yeah. They were just playing straight up.
Yep. So, yeah, and I think that there was a momentum shift somewhere in there, and then we had Chris Copley with the breakout dunk, and that brought the score. Suddenly it was back to 42-45. And I even asked myself the question, how is this close? Because, the TMT team were still on talent better, but it was turning around. But then you had Alford, for TMT, hit a few shots. He was ridiculous. Shooter, amazing. And then Wiley, dunk on the buzzer to finish the half, and you thought, well, there's the run. Heard that gave it their best, but it wasn't enough. TMT just put the foot back on the gas, and it was 55-62 at the half and not looking good for Heard.
If I can jump in here, here's what I saw in this quarter. So first of all, 6:01 was when it got real nasty. John Elmore, he threw the ball at him when he was on the ground. I don't know who the player was. It got testy. It looked like, this is going to break out into a brawl. It had that vibe. After that, Coakley takes over. He had 13 points in this quarter alone. I don't know what he ended with, but it wouldn't have been a lot more. He probably had maybe 20 something, but he got most of them in this quarter. The difference, we talked about owning the reffing, and I think also they were aggressive, Heard that, but the free throw count in this quarter, have a guess what it was, the discrepancy.
Oh, did TMT even get to the line? Maybe it was.
Well, they did. 10. They shot 1 of 4 from the line, whereas Heard that, 11 of 14.
Wow.
They were the tougher team, and they were taking the hits and getting to the line. 11 of 14. 1 of 4, 25% for TMT. 11 of 14. Like, they just got to the line.
But that's so different. I mean, the scouting report on Heard that is they're going to
is the opposite.
Gonna run it, and they're going to shoot threes.
Precisely.
Yeah, so well done to them for changing it up.
It's because you can't, in the TBT with 9-minute quarters and then Elam ending, which also probably slims the game a bit, if you're not getting to the line when you're down, the clock is ticking. It's just not the same thing. I'm an athlete sort of thing in the game next. We won't talk about that. But, that's what I saw a big thing in this. If I can also take your attention to something, Oat Elmore put out a tweet before this game. He actually retweeted someone, Kawhi Senberg, DFS. Okay? I've already followed him. Anyone who gets mentioned on these telecasts, I immediately follow. But he said, and this was his tweet that Elmore retweeted, if you're starting Oat Elmore against a team with 6 former NBA guys, you're going to have a bad time. That just set up the stage for this third and fourth quarter.
And Elmore retweeted that.
I love it. I don't know if he did it before the game or after. Big difference between before and after here. I think it was after. You got to cover your bases there.
I like it. What's not to love about those guys, right?
Oh, they didn't play great.
I don't care. I'm just on board now.
Third quarter, what happened?
Third quarter, it was this was when Ja'Cory Williams really stepped it up. He got cooking. So it was basically him versus everybody playing for the money team, because they had weapons everywhere on the court. It seemed like they could just find a shooter at will. Shots would go down. It'd go down the other end, and Ja'Cory Williams would say, all right, boys, don't worry. I've got this.
Get on my back. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I think by three-quarter time, the three-point shooting percentages. So Heard that, known for their three-point shooting. That's their game. Mm-hmm. They were 8 of 20 at 40%. Not bad.
Not bad.
I'd be happy with that.
For them, modest, but not bad.
Yeah. Any other team, bank it. Mm-hmm. The money team, 16, so twice as many hits of 29 for 55% three-point shooting. I mean, how do you beat a team shooting that volume at that clip?
You get to the line. I don't know. I really don't know how they did this. I mean, I have an idea, but the thing I'll say is this, and I am talking about the game after this. I'm an athlete, Gilbeck, but what I have written here is overseas elite either attacked or helped off the big guy for Armand Athlete, Gilbeck. Why didn't TMT do the same with Ote Elmore? Could he guard anybody? On the offensive end, is he a real worry? Why weren't they? They weren't doing it. They weren't coming off him on defense. They weren't going at him on offense. I couldn't understand it.
Yeah, I wonder if it comes back to that overconfidence. And you think, well, we could, but we don't really need to.
Perhaps.
On behalf of the money team. You know, they just, maybe they thought that it was fine and they would get it done.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So we move along. So that was three-quarter time. It was...
They're still down eight.
Yeah.
74-82 by my count.
Correct, yep. That's exactly right. So there was still not a lot of hope at this point that heard that we're going to be able to come back. There was just... It just seemed like whenever they tried to make a run, money team would hit a few shots and push it back out. It was just that 6 to 8 point barrier. Also, couldn't get
eight
broken.
8 points. Even if you get it back to five, if you don't get a stop every time, you get it back to five, they score two in a row, it's back out to nine. You know, like it's a really tough spot to be in. So I was still very down on her that, but we went into the fourth.
And 9 minute quarters, and then the fourth quarter, really it's a 5 minute quarter with an Elam. So you've got no time. Then we go into the fourth quarter. Now, the thing that stood out for me here in this quarter was our friend Jacob Wiley. He showed huge amounts of energy here. There was one play he got an offensive board, then a block, and he was just all over the. He was back to being the coyote, wasn't he?
Yep. Yeah, he was good. I think. What have I got written here? Yeah, he was quite good. I thought Tony Roten for an NBA caliber was pretty modest. What did you think?
Yeah, hardly sighted.
One of two from the foul line and a turnover in the fourth. Once the Elam started anyway, maybe had a little bit more earlier in the fourth, but once the Elam started, he was there. Yeah, I thought Wiley line. Was...
Yeah, sorry, that sounds a stat line I'd get if I stepped into the game.
It was very similar to Oates. If I can take you back to Ote Elmore, what did he end up with the game? I do have it written here. What did he end up with? Oh, I've got it written somewhere. Not a lot, let's just say that. Sorry, it's lost in my notes here. He was saying...
I was just saying, but you probably don't have in your stats the spirit animal stat. You know, how much did he motivate and encourage that team to get over the line?
You're true. You're right. See, I don't have that now.
I am definitely pushing all my chips in on Ott Elmore. You can tell this, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps I'm over-investing at this point. I don't know.
I want to take a minute. We touched on it before, but what was the problem with this team? If someone asked me, why did they lose? I have a very, very simple answer. Coaching. Look at this stat. Heard that had 9 players hit the floor, one of which only played a minute. So a rotation of 8 players.
Yep. About perfect.
Perfect for the TBT. Perfect for NBL too, mind you. But TMT had 11 players hit the floor. The least minute getter of those 11 was 10 minutes. So 11 guys each saw a minimum of 10 minutes. How are you supposed to get a rhythm in your first game of the tournament in a 9 minute quarter when you're coming in and out like that? And I want to get this joke in before you do. David Nurse, coach of the TMT, I think you should meet Will Weaver. I think these two would really hit it off. I'm being unfair to both, but that's a lot of players through a 9 minute game. That is very, very generous and this guy should go into politics. Very egalitarian to the detriment. Yeah. Wiley didn't get that like lather up that he would be known for. Yep. I thought that was an incredible stat to compare the two.
Do you think that's...
And what did you make of David Nurse, the coach? Oh, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, in terms of that rotation, do you think that's a product of having all those NBA guys on? You know, how many are you managing egos at that point?
I think you're managing egos. It's also a matter of what have you committed to the split, because people might say, all right, we're each going to get an 11th of the money. So I heard that, right? They've all committed to the same amount each. Obviously, some play a lot, some don't. Whereas TMT, it's like, all right, we've all committed to the money. We all want the equal minutes, if you know what I mean, like to earn their share a little bit. But yeah, I think it's a product of the six NBA players. I think it may be a product of like, well, if he's getting a, you know, 120 grand, then he should play a little bit more, 110. Mm. I don't know. I just thought it was too democratic. Nonetheless, the TBT is the least democratic thing on the planet. It's get you, you know who your number one is, play through him, tight rotations, know the clock is really the big things. Yeah. But this coach of TMD, David Nurse, I've got it written down my diary of notes here. Long sleeved, open collared shirt with a gold chain. And I've actually got written with American blue jeans and crisp white shell toe Adidas. And I've got written here, and sorry for the language, but this guy is a Bret Easton Ellis mother effer is what I've got written here. You know, Bret Easton Ellis, you know, American Psycho, like yuppie, whatever. Yep. And I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sorry to say that about him, but that's just the appearance I got.
Those shoes were freshly out of the box, I think.
Ooh,
I
don't think they're crisp.
If you accidentally trod on the top of those, he would have been very upset.
That would have not made his day at all. But I couldn't believe it when I saw these substitution splits.
It was crazy, and especially I mean because I know Wiley, you know, don't know him, but I watched him play. When he gets going, you've got to ride it. You've got to keep him on the court. You know. Use that energy that he brings. He gets pumped. He does something good. He gets pumped up. He's going to do something better the next time down the court. And instead it was like, good job, mate. You're off the court.
Yep. He was seventh in minutes. Seventh. At only 15. That's less than half. Less than half. Jacob Wiley is not going to do well in 15 minutes. Spotted 15 minutes over 9 minute quarters. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it. Coakley, we mentioned him before. I just want to say, once the Elam kicked in, which was at 84-93, 2 points, a free throw, another 2 points, and I think another two once things got real close. So what's that? 7 or 8 points in the Elam, not the fourth quarter, in the Elam. Incredible.
Let's talk Elam. So it was 93-84.
No, actually, sorry, I scrapped that. He only had 2 points, 2 or 4 points in the Elam, but had sort of about 8 or 7 or 8 over the fourth, pardon me.
That's all right. He was dominant in that period. Was. The Elam ending. Now, this was crazy. This was the first game I was watching and my heart was beating. You know, I had the pitter-patter. I was excited. I didn't know what to think. I was getting really worked up.
What's interesting is I had it the other way because I knew the result because I watched this one delayed. So it was an interesting watch for me. I still was into it because I was like, no. I was more like, how did this happen? I was watching it by myself. I was looking around like, I can't predict how they're going to make this happen. And I couldn't believe it went on. But sorry, Andrew, go on.
It was end-to-end, miss after miss after defensive stop after miss. It was infuriating. I mean, heard that, you think, right, they got the stop. They can make a run. And then they would miss.
It's not like the Elam kicked in and they just shot the shit out of it. That didn't happen. It actually went back and forth. It was like ping pong.
Yeah. It was the least productive, and especially this is the same game that had a 40-point first quarter.
And yeah, had this slow plodding by far. I don't know what the length of time for the Elam was, like when it kicked in and how long it took to get a final result, but it was by far the longest of the tournament.
By far. Yeah, I thought the same
Most Elams would run that sort of 4 minutes, but yeah, this one would have gone for maybe 7 or 8. If you add timeouts over 10, it was a long, long Elam.
Yep. There was one call, though, that may have swung the game.
Out of bounds?
The out of bounds call. They called it out of bounds.
It wasn't. I don't
think it was. His heel was over the line. But
Alfred of TMT, yeah.
Yeah, his heel, it was up. It didn't ever go down.
It went close, but no, with the help of, you know, instant replay and real slow, no, it didn't touch the ground. I think the referee got a little bit too smart there, and that's a play he shouldn't have called.
Yeah.
Even if you are not 100% certain he steps out, don't call that.
Yep.
Yeah. That was, you heard that, got lucky, but that's sports.
They've got themselves to blame because they should never have been in that position, right? They should.
Well, that's one of my questions to you. Was this a choke? I mean, the word choke is thrown around a lot. There are very few games. A lot of games are called choke. Very few are chokes. Was this a choke by TMT?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, this was a choke.
They got to
overthought it. Yeah, you go, Andrew.
No, they got to Elam ending and their game plan changed. It was, again, that exercise in psychology.
They were up 9 into Elam. It's 9.
It's actually a difficult thing to lose at that point. You know, it's an effort.
And they had chances. As we said, this thing went back and forth. They had their chances. Jordan Crawford, I hate to signal out players of like, you know, this was, but he was especially bad, I thought. He had a couple of scores and a few things, but 4 turnovers, a couple of them coming in the fourth, maybe even 2 within the Elam. I just thought he wasn't doing the right thing, wasn't looking for the right people. Sometimes Jacob Wiley got looked off. The big guy, Thomas Welch, obviously, spoke about that, or Welch. Yep. He was one who I thought he'd look at that game and be quite remiss with himself. Or upset
yeah.
with himself.
Given his pedigree as well, you sort of think.
Yeah, he's NBA. He's one
yep.
of them.
Yep. And then you
so
had
out of bounds. Yes.
Yeah, and so then it led to Luther for Heard That. Unheralded.
He by far the best looking of the Heard That team. He's the poster boy. He's got the long hair. He looks like a sort of California gladiator. like a longboard surfer.
Yeah.
Hit the shot. How charming was this game? The chalk on the deck. Drawing up plays in chalk on the black of the sideline. Not a board, not a magnet, not a tablet. Just good old fashioned chalk on the deck. I couldn't believe it. And he had boat shoes on. So that was boat shoes on the deck with chalk. Just worked for me. What was it? Gay Elmore.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was just like they used to play, you know, in the backyard on the peach pit, on the peach hoop.
It's like
basket, what am I trying to say?
This is like the Sandlot kids and that posh team that shows up, whatever, I forget who they are. You know, Gay Elmore's in boat shoes, the same shorts he wore the last couple of days of the tournament.
I don't think he packed enough for quarantine. I don't think he got the memo. You're going to be locked in the hotel. Take more than one pair of clothes.
And the one white shirt, and then the other coach. It's the money team. This was a great Hollywood story. I just want to also highlight as well, Luther with the win, and boy did he enjoy it. But once they got to within 2, right?
Yep.
Money team, because they reached that, they were closest to the target for longest. They missed. Have a guess how many chances they had to win it with just needing a 2-point basket, not 3, just 2.
Gee, let's see.
How many shots or turnovers or things happened that?
Maybe 4.
They missed 3 shots, went 0-of-2 from the line, and then had that foot out of bounds turnover. So that's goodness. 5 by my count. 5, any of them would have done it.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That's choke.
That's a choke if ever I've seen it. Sorry, money team, if you're listening, but there's no other way to describe this game.
And look, the money team, they don't need the money anyway. They got NBA contracts all over the place. They're fine.
Precisely. Precisely, exactly. So that means that Heard That now play overseas elite, if I can get your opinion on whether they've got a chance or not.
Cinderella team, will the story carry forward?
Oh, man, overseas elite. The defense is too good. Overseas elite, actually, I won't say too much because we'll talk about their game next, but...
No, that heard that. This is the end of their run. This is their big story. I love it. It'll come probably crashing all down in the next game, but they have today. They always have today.
Honestly, I'm not ruling them out. I think they've got a 10 to 15% chance of winning it. I didn't think they'd win this one. So,
yeah.
But their style, they won this game having shot so poorly. If they can shoot well, but no, I just think. And I've been in touch with Odell Moore. We're going to try and get him on the podcast. My thought is this. What happens when Joe Johnson in a switch switches and is guarded by Odell Moore? I don't think that's in my mind a couple of times. And are you ready to jump onto the next one or have you got something else?
I want to say one last point on the game.
Do indeed.
I was just impressed. You mentioned the Californian god, Luther, hit the winning shot. Did you notice how carefully he stuck that little Heard That sign up? There was no punching the sign.
Oh, no, I didn't know. I saw his celebration, and because I knew the result, I culled it there. But why did he put it up real delicately?
Really delicate. Lined up the little, I think it's Velcro, lined up the Velcro just perfectly. Just put it on, gave it just a gentle tap. Yep, that's good.
Because
if you're looking for a handyman around the house, you want him. He's not going to go.
Soft-handed handyman.
Yep.
I think because I remember the big thing when I had some American friends who both visited from college here and I visited their college. The big thing was slap the bag. So you'd buy a cask wine and then you'd drink it and then you have to slap the bag real hard.
Right.
It's pure old game, but nonetheless, a lot of fun. And you slap that bag, you know, you really slap it. So I thought this would be a perfect chance to sort of transferable skill to take the slap the bag from the college days into the TBT and give that a sign, a good slap. But yeah, that's been the standard thus far. But Luther,
yeah,
he had a different flavor.
Just a different touch, yeah. I like
very
it.
Very Californian, you know, do his own thing, you know. The dude abides. Let's go to game two. This is our team. We love Armoured Athlete.
We do.
Number 15, Armoured Athlete. Number 2, Overseas Elite. Overseas Elite have won this thing, what, 4 times?
Yeah.
But they are without DJ Dennis, former Melbourne United.
Mr. TBT.
Mr. TBT. Like, he is the LeBron James of TBT.
Incredible.
Let's start in the first quarter.
Take it away, Joe.
Machado had 2 early turnovers. The pressure, you could tell that, and this is what I wanted to mention in the last game, but I thought I'd save it here, is, and where heard that will struggle when they play Overseas Elite. Overseas Elite looked at this team and immediately isolated the best guys. And they went, it's Machado. In fact, I think at quarter time, the coach, Mark Hughes of Overseas Elite, said, we're going to deny him, Scott Machado, the ball. He's the head of the snake. And I was jumping up. I was like, oh, Taipans, snake. I think that was.
He's been watching the scouting videos over the NBL.
Exactly. He knows all too well. I've got written here in my notes, Pujeda is a MFing handful. Defender, scorer, smart, picks his spots. He was a challenge throughout the whole game, but especially in the first. And Overseas Elite jumped out to a nice handy lead. They just really smacked Robertson, smacked Machado, and it took them a little while. They did ease into the game, but this first quarter they got smacked, didn't you think?
Yeah. I noticed in this first quarter, it just seemed like Overseas Elite had more size all over the court. Just all every over the position.
Joe Johnson.
A bit bigger, a bit faster.
Ooh, I'd seen him play, but he was this amazing body type, like 6'7", and looked every inch of it. These wide shoulders, but great physique. 39 years old. Couldn't believe it. I was not hopeful or thinking he would come into this game and be a replacement for DJ Kennedy, but he certainly was through 3 quarters. Real patient, really, really good player, but yeah, great body on him. I wanted to full court pressure, 6-3 turnovers. Armoured Athlete had 6-3 rebounds, 4-8 steals, 1-4. Like, it was just all the preparation and effort stats that they just got punched on the chin. Going on to the second, Cody Clark.
I just want to, one highlight play from the first quarter, which I appreciated, was the Machado alley-oop to Gilbeck.
That was
a fantastic pass. And Gilbeck did the Cam Oliver and finished it.
Well, that's the thing. That's what got me thinking. I was like, if Scott Machado can throw them up to Gilbeck, you know, no wonder Cam Oliver looks so good.
Exactly.
That's always been like, not that Cam Oliver's a bad player by any means, he's fantastic, but you can see where Machado adds value to everybody.
Yep.
I remember that play. That was a good one. But into the second, Cody Clark, 2 threes to start the quarter, really pushed a nice run. The Gilbeck play I've got here, Machado hits a 3 and then throws an Elliott to Gilbeck. I don't know if it's the one you're talking about or not. I think it was the separate one.
I think it might be the second one.
Yeah, takes scores. Oh, yes, it was, because he had it was a alley-oop plus 1, so it wasn't a dunk. It was more of a tip-in.
Yep.
But Machado has his hands all over those 4 points, brings scores to within 5. You could tell when they made a run, Machado was the orchestrator. Overseas Elite were 7 of 9 from the 3 about halfway through the second quarter. They finished the quarter 8 of 16. They go 1 of 7 the rest of the way. I don't think it was an adjustment that Armoured Athlete made. I think it was more just they just kind of went cold. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just the numbers. You know, history shows that when you shoot 3-pointers, you make 40% of them, right? And that just the numbers just played out, I think.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. To the half, Joe Johnson, 11 points, 5 of 6, 4 assists. Patience. He brought very few guys bring patience to TBT. You know, there's a lot of scorers who put up score, but this guy, you could almost feel when he had the ball, was just manipulating the clock, time bent around him. I think I'm probably overdoing it with that.
No, I think it's not a bad analogy. And it seemed like he was one of the few players that created positions in the midcourt, if you like, between the keyway and the three-point line. He would establish a position there and sort of work out from that.
Mm.
Not something I'd
not done so much anymore. Times. And not something I remember him being in a huge staple of his game early in his career. It's something he's adopted as he's got older. Anything else from the second, Andrew?
I thought Hicks for Armoured Athlete, he had really nice touch. Just
yeah, he did. He got buckets. Inside.
Yeah, he was just an impressive, very smooth guy. Didn't seem to ever play outside of himself. You know, knew what he could do. Thought that was good. I didn't like Machado settling for threes. Thought sometimes he seemed to get a bit frustrated. And would just and he was surprisingly good 3-point shooter for Cairns over the last year. I don't think anybody expected him to be as good as he was.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think that he should be the first option shooting a 3-point. I agree. Shot.
And Robertson, actually, let's talk about it now. I have one of my major questions here. John Robertson finished the game with 10 points, 4 of 12, 2 of 7 from the outside, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. What do we think? Like I felt he went missing.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of his threes did rim out. Really unfortunate. Yeah,
he was unlucky.
That could be four for instead of two for. But he didn't have a big influence on the game.
Mm.
He sort of just, he was there but never really impacted the game.
I also think like he's a guy who, from what I've noted of his play and when he gets his threes is, he'll be out in the perimeter, a penetration will be made. He'll kind of, you know, like give his defender like a jagged cut, like he'll go one way and then quickly go back the other way. And he's got such a quick release, he's just ready to catch and fire straight away. He's more of a, you know, catch it on the move and go up to a 3-point shot. Not so much a just sit in the corner, stand there ice cold and wait to get it. He's more of a off the move catch.
Yeah.
Or even off his own dribble. And I don't think Armoured Athlete or his teammates knew that about him so much. And it didn't quite happen. Like if you look at the game one, he catches and goes straight into his motion. And for whatever reason, maybe over, I think also Elite had identified him as that type and made him do something different to their credit.
It seemed like he was always working around a pair of arms. You know, he had to sort of get past a guy and then there'd be another long set of arms ready to meet him. I think it's that, unfortunately, the short guy met tall guys that just seemed to really throw him out.
With purpose. Like they were tall guys who knew Machado, Robertson, they're the one too. The others were, you know, we'll take it or leave it, but those two are not doing what they did in the first game. I thought, and Overseas Elite were really smart to do that, I thought. What have I got here in the third? I just got Robertson. He yo-yoed a defender one time. Like he was doing just a simple cross, but making this guy like, it was kind of like Leighton Hewitt, this defender, like running the baseline, just like the side to side that Robertson was making him do was amazing. And then he hit the three, taking scores to within four. So I had a serviceable game, but a bit missing. Mm. Did have an air ball this quarter.
Yeah, he did.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, somebody forgot to close the door.
Yeah, right. I think so. Halfway through the second quarter, hit a nice little stretch there. Mobley for Armoured Athlete. I don't know if you saw this one. Just before the break, took a bad quarter court three that was never going down with a minute remaining. And then because it was an air ball, two just went the other way. And it was just that took scores back up to 9 points. In this tournament, there's a big difference between going into a quarter down nine as opposed to going down seven with the ball. And I just thought it was a real bad play from Mobley.
Yeah, it was. Good point. Mm. The point I made in this quarter, I just thought this quarter really stood out to me that I don't know whether it was the defensive pressure or what, but Machado just seemed off today. Just seemed that he didn't have his normal.
It was the pressure, I think.
Yeah, he just didn't seem to control, have that normal control. You know, sort of a few turnovers, trying to do maybe a bit too much, shooting threes too early. He just seemed a bit off. And it was disappointing. I thought
when he had it going, it looked good. And as I said in that second quarter, when he brought scores to within five, I thought, okay, here we go. He sort of found his spots of where to attack and where the defense is coming from. But either they made a change or that wasn't the case. Mm. But yeah, you're very right. Going into the fourth.
So it's 61-50. 61-50.
Right? Not feeling good about this. It did come back closer than that. I mean, where are we? It was back to within a point when the Elam ending started.
Yep.
Yep. Johnson. What have I got here? I've kind of losing my place here, but how did you see it?
Look, the note I had here in this quarter was for Armoured Athlete. It was all Hicks. He just, put the team on his back and went inside and was scoring off putbacks and layups. You know, he was active off the ball and putting scores up. I thought he was really great, and just enough of this settling for threes business, and they pulled it back through twos. Was my recollection of that one.
I've got one note here. Oh, you finished, Andrew?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got one note here, and it's kind of like in the Jetsons or something. I've just got Gil back! ! Well, I got a note from someone on Twitter saying that, wow, this Gilbeck guy is killing him, as an Armoured Athlete. He dropped a couple of passes.
Yep.
Didn't see a foul he didn't love. He had four in the quarter, most of them in the Elam. I think you have to help me here. I didn't mention it on the telecast. Did he give away a tech to then give away the ending basket?
I didn't see it as a tech. I thought it was just a foul. And I thought the dispute amongst that was it a foul? Did they have possession? So therefore, should it be a shooting foul, or was it like an offensive control? That's what I thought they were arguing about there. So should it be one shot? Should it be two? Should it be no shots? I don't know the rules on that well enough I thought they might have been disputing. But yeah, because that was that was the one where he reached over the back, right?
Was that the foul? It was a bad
was it another play. One? Yeah. There was so many fouls. All over the place.
A guy, as I said, the tweet came to me, the friend person messaged me and said, Gilbeck, it was bad. Is that person being too mean to Gilbeck? Did he lose Armoured Athlete this game? I'll put it that bluntly.
No, he didn't. You shouldn't be relying on Gilbeck to win or lose you that game. Mm. You need your studs to turn up. Gilbeck is a supporting piece. You can't put that kind of...
He fumbled two passes that, to be honest, one from Machado wasn't great.
That was the down low one? It was down at his knees?
A bounce pass?
You don't do a bounce pass to a 7-footer, do you?
No, don't do that. No. And I thought that was a bit bad for him, and it made him look a bit bad on that one. And then the fouls certainly didn't help. Some were borderline inexcusable. I thought, gee, like knowing the fouling situation in the TBT, where if you foul off the ball, you go to the foul line with possession. Yeah, I thought that was. I didn't think he, by all means, I didn't think he helped in the fourth quarter, but that was where this team, Armoured Athlete, just lacked that little bit of depth up front. They were a wee bit small for me.
That's where they needed a Tarico White.
Yeah, Tarico White would have been able to. Bit of muscle. He's not a 7-footer. You don't. That doesn't really play, but he is a guy who can box out, rebound, and he can leap off the floor and go and get it. He would have made a heck of a lot of difference. Yeah. But I think to put it on Gilbeck's a little bit too much.
Yep. But, I noticed in that fourth quarter as well, Robeson was just missing. I said Robeson. It's Robeson, isn't it? Whoops.
It is Robeson. Yeah, that's right.
He missed a few easy ones that he would normally make. In the key little floater jump shots, just things that he would normally pop up. And he had the
secret. JR misses two big tying shots. Ouch. And then Pujetta comes back and hits a three, his direct opponent. No, yeah, that hurt. That hurt me at home. Felt bad for him.
You hit the Elam. It was 68-67 to
67 down one.
So there was still game on, despite all this. We're sounding really down on Armoured Athlete, aren't we? But really, they were right in it.
They were right in it, despite having a really horrible first quarter. The difference in the fourth quarter, the same name. Are we going to say the same name together? Pujetta. I thought he was terrific. 10 points in the quarter. How many in the Elam? You could have, I think only two in the Elam, but had a hand in a bunch, even on the last play.
Influential player. Just
Never just made reliable. A mistake. Listen to his scoreline. Listen to what he did in this game. 22 points, 5 of 8 from the outside. 100% from the field in the fourth quarter, 10 points across the fourth. I think he hit a three, two, and then some free throws to sort of make up the difference. Yeah, so 10 points, highest score of the fourth quarter, didn't miss a single shot from nowhere, no matter where he took it. Yeah, really good player.
Yeah, and showed himself to be a pro, right?
Absolutely. He's a big name, and I think it was in Europe. I think he's moved somewhere else now, but yeah.
Would you like to see him in the NBL?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's big money though. He's a guy who, that actually brings me to my question. If you had to go like a 1, 2, 3, 4 votes for this game, best number one being best, 4 to least best.
Who would I give those points to? I think I've got to go Joe Johnson, probably top of
really?
The tree.
I had Jetta, but yep.
Yeah, yeah. I think maybe I would put,
Jetta,
sorry.
Johnson and Jetta, one of those two.
Jetta two. Probably Hicks at 3 for
Cody Clark.
Cody Clark.
Maybe he Machado. Was, like Machado didn't have a great percentage game, but he did do a lot, I think.
Yeah, it was Cody Clark that came on just every time he touched the ball, it was a 3-point bucket, right?
Scored a lot. Yeah, he had a lot of points. I think he had, 15 to the half. I mean, the other one was, what did I have here? Machado had 5 turnovers, a game high. Just that pressure. He was under a lot.
Just didn't have the tempo of the game that he normally has.
Yeah, unfortunate. Any other notes from this one?
No, final score. That's the only other note I've got. 76-70 to Overseas Elite.
We love Armoured Athlete.
We do.
They're our team. AJ sent me a message. I sent him a message saying, "Oh, we really love watching him play and appreciate it very much." And he did text me back. I'll see what he's written here. Really great guy. And there, by the way, Armoured Athlete may have been knocked out here, but they have the best social media. Whoever's doing that, they're just pumping them out. Because I watched this live, so there were just tweets coming out left and right. He goes, "Joseph and Andrew, I appreciate your support and kind words. Wish the result was different, but the guys battled. Proud of them. Hopefully COVID will be long gone and we can put the roster we expect to be out there. We will have more NBL guys next summer." So that's nice from AJ. And great guy, great team. They would have had a real chance. So what happens now? This team goes on to play. Heard that? Imagine if I'm an athlete who got through. They're playing Heard That. They have a great chance.
Amazing. Yeah, they would have.
And then they're going at the Mill.
That's tournament knockout.
That's
tournament
the TBT, play. Isn't it?
You know, that's what you love about it. That's why we're here watching these games every day.
How much, on a scale of 1 to 10, seriously, how much did you enjoy this today's game, today's set of games?
Oh, this is an 8. I'm giving myself margin for error because I want to be able to escalate from this. So I'm not going the 10. I'm saying 8. Maybe it would have been a 9 if Armoured Athlete had gone through.
I think that's pretty fair to say. I think this had the most. It had this combination of, like, you could tell the NBA guys, Joe Johnson especially.
Yep.
You could tell the pro guys from overseas. You could tell who was kind of just doing the best for their team, essentially the Elmore brothers, not so much John. And it was just a joy. You just had all these different types of people playing. I really thought this was a great day for the tournament. It was fantastic.
Fun stuff. I've got one question for you that's
laid on me.
Come out of this play. I think we've seen the best of Elam today. I think we've seen why it's a great thing. And I also saw when they were talking to Nick Elam that they mentioned that the Canadian League was adopting it.
Yep.
Official aspect.
It's the future of basketball.
League, yeah. Now, I think I'm on the record on this podcast as saying that I think the NBL should adopt it.
The one thing it does mean
that there is no chance of overtime play. Like, overtime is eliminated.
Touche. It's a good point. I mean, I think there's nothing quite like overtime, but how many overtime games did we see in the NBL last year?
We did have a lot in the year before that.
We had one in the semi-final, Cairns-Perth. I remember that OT. That was spectacular. But how many games? So let's say there were 5 overtime games. So we're forgetting some. How many games were played in the NBL this season?
What is that?
Each team plays 28. 28 times 8.
Times 7 or whatever you got. 7.
A lot more than 5, you know. So the rate of return on overtime is very rare. And then you got TV worries. You're very right. There is no overtime, but the games end on a winner.
Yeah.
Every time these game ends, except when there was one game that ended on a free throw that was pretty unceremonious. Every other time.
Every game is overtime, isn't it?
It ends on a punch. It ends on a, you stamp it, you know? It's not one of those bleed out games where it's just blah over the line. Now, okay. I am 100% on the Elam ending. I think it's the future of basketball. I've seen too many games where fans are leaving with a minute and a half left, where teams are fouling. Just cut. How is that a good product? And yes, it, when it all goes well and you're sitting there and you're sitting through fouls and you're sitting through timeouts and the time is ticking down and that suspense, yes, that when it works, it's fantastic. Yep. But it's so seldom, it's not worth the juice is not worth the squeeze.
And then you've got the NBL, who I'm sure thought they were on a timeless thing. Let's name our panel show Overtime, because overtime is indelibly linked with basketball.
So what good point.
They switched to an Elam ending. What would they call that show?
Hit the target. Target practice. That's off the top of my head. It's the best I've got.
Around the horn.
I want to quickly say tomorrow there's only one game, so I'm glad about that. We had a breath in on this one, and then tomorrow we get to breathe out. We get to just the one game. It's an hour or so of basketball. And
what have we got to look forward to tomorrow?
What's on the Red Scare and House of Pain? Two teams we're not particularly close to. Didn't you find an NBL player on one of these teams?
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
Was that or has House of Pain got Nunegwu?
He's got Nunegwu. Now I'm thinking of Dimitri McKamey, but that's not the right team.
Who was he with?
He was with. There are too many teams in too few days. I can't be expected to remember from one day.
But that's
to the next.
That game. I'm sorry. 6 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. 4 on the West Coast. Watch the replay. Avoid Twitter and the internet. Watch the replay. You won't regret it.
That's my rule of thumb. This entire tournament, I've been watching every game on delay. And avoiding spoilers. So it gets me off social media. That's why I've not been really engaging. I'd love to, but I don't want to ruin it for myself. I like watching without
a victory in itself, getting off social media. But I thankfully watched Armored Athlete live. I don't know what compelled me. I actually woke up without an alarm before 6, and I was like, you know what? This was a sign. This is a blessing. So I got up and I watched Armored Athlete and had the best time of my life. I'm loving this tournament. Loving it. It's can't wait for tomorrow.
It's wonderful. Mm. So who's your tip? Who's your tip for tomorrow?
The Dominator, House of Pain.
Thank you.
I wasn't mad about Red Scare, were you?
No, Red Scare, I don't rate them and I'm not interested in them.
Yeah, this game tomorrow will be a very casual watch. It'll be watch a quarter, take a break, come back. Sorry to this game, but I'm pretty confident House of Pain too. If you're having a bet, why not? Any final words, Andrew?
No, I will tell you, I've ordered my book from Booktopia.
Oh, what was it?
So this is, there's no street credibility in this. It is, it's Olive Again, the sequel to another book. I can't remember the author now. It's terrible, but I've read the first one. I enjoyed it. I bought the second one from Booktopia in support of the podcast.
Yes. Oh, your reminder, if you're looking in the market for the book, go and use the link in the description by all means.
Yeah.
That's it. Andrew, I will see you tomorrow, same time, and we'll do it again. Thank you for listening, everybody. Once more, follow me and Andrew on Twitter. Rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And if you're in the business of buying a book, use booktopia.com via the link in the description. Thanks very much, and I will see you next time.